Welcome to the Hostile Zone.
Use your voice, somebody hears you.
Welcome to the Hostile Zone. You're with the infamous and dangerous and always in your face, Eric A. Sinati, Eric Andrew Sinati, Eric Sinati. Miss Bianca's not with us today. I normally would lean over to her and say, who? Eric Sinati, but Miss Bianca is working on another project, so it's just myself. I feel like it's been a few minutes, folks, since the Hostile Zone, but we hit our one-year anniversary about 10 days ago, and we were putting together a lot of stuff and getting organized for the next year, year two. So I want to put that thank you out there, folks, for those of you that have been with us or from the beginning or came in and or coming in now as a new person. We appreciate that. Again, Miss Bianca is off tonight, and I am your host, Eric A. Sinati, right here on the Hostile Zone. You can find us on every single platform, right on the ticker if you're watching this on your TV screen in whatever market you're in, if it's a social media market or a cable TV network market that we're currently aired on your screen is the ticker of all the locations for you to reach us. Also, it has the contact information, thehostilezone@bbstalkradio.com, thehostilezone@bbstalkradio.com, ericsinati@bbstalkradio.com, ericsinati@bbstalkradio.com, and Bianca C, S-E-A, like the ocean, @bbstalkradio.com, Bianca C, S-E-A, like the ocean, @bbstalkradio.com. All right, folks, so we're here on the Hostile Zone, coming at you another day, and we're here to talk some big stuff is occurred. But let's get it rolling. Let's get it moving. Welcome here. Tonight, we're going to tackle some concerning issues and then a concerning event that should be alarming to you, to me, to everybody, every American, and honestly, every person, I would say, in the free world that actually cares about what's going on geopolitically worldwide. For everybody, this is an event that definitely shook foundations across the world. The assassination attempt of the 45th president of the United States, current Republican nominee for president for a second term, President Donald J. Trump, formerly known as 45, maybe 47, who knows, but the assassination attempt, very, very big deal. Let me just put it out right away. I am very happy that he did not suffer any death, any major dismemberment or anything like that. So that is the good point to that. Unfortunately, other people did get hurt, and it's an attack on our liberty. It's an attack on everything that we stand for as Americans. This incident threatens the safety of every public figure, but also challenges the very fabric of the democracy of our nation. And, you know, people look to us, folks, worldwide for what we're going to do in times of crisis, in times of laughter, in times of prosper, whatever time it is, people look at how America is going to handle it. How resilient are we? We are a resilient nation. We are resilient people. We are a resilient nation. But people still look, and this is a problem. It shouldn't happen, ever. Who's at fault? I don't know. I'm not going to play conspiracy theory here today. We're not going to go conspiracy theory. We're just going to talk facts, and we're going to talk about where do we go from here. We're going to start off with my relevant quote of the day. Justice will not be served until those who are unaffected are as outraged as those who are. I'm going to say it again. Justice will not be served until those who are unaffected are as outraged as those who are affected. Benjamin Franklin, folks. Benjamin Franklin. Excellent quote. So here we are. Basically, the incident overview. Obviously, we know that we have, a presidential election going on right now. I don't need to tell that to everybody. President Trump was in Butler, Pennsylvania, about a week ago, maybe 10 days or something like that. and he was giving a campaign speech, a planned campaign speech, which means that the, you know, the Secret Service advance team was there. The Secret Service was there at the time of the event. The advance team was there. All law enforcement and public safety agencies coordinated prior to his arrival, or so it's supposed to be. Yet a 20-year-old man by the name of Thomas Matthew Crooks was identified as the shooter, and he was actually seen at the location with walking around, and it's on video, walking around with a backpack and using a rangefinder. Now, folks, if you don't know what a rangefinder is, if you're a hunter or a military person or somebody like that, you may understand this. And I don't know how many networks actually got into the specificity of what it is that we're talking about. A rangefinder is like a set of binoculars or whatever, but you're looking through it and you're actually getting the distance of where your target is or whatever it is. I don't want to put a buzzword target, but whatever they're looking for, you can place how far distance you are from whatever you're looking at for purposes of hunting or whatever it is you're trying to do, measuring out the distance between locations. This should have been a problematic issue that we saw this video. It's been out there. I'm sure you've seen it. I've seen it. A lot of people have seen it. The rangefinder, this gentleman was walking around prior to the president coming out. He was looked at. People actually said that they were alerted to him and that they were looking at him and paying attention. How much they were paying attention, I don't know. But he managed to get shots off, and, you know, let's get into the details. So he opened fired six minutes into President Trump giving his speech. So basically, the president came on to the stage, and within 6 minutes, the shooter, and that's the last time we're going to mention his name. I don't like to give anybody, that notoriety or that fame and whatever, because I just don't believe in that. So I mentioned his name and that's it. But within there, he fired 6 minutes after the president began his speech. There was one person killed and two seriously wounded people, as well as former President Trump was shot in the ear. And if you've seen any of the forensic recreations, the bullet literally, he turned his head to look at a teleprompter, or not a teleprompter, to look at a chart. He had a chart with statistics talking about, I don't know the specific, what it might have been, immigration or something of that, whatever he was talking about at that exact moment. And he glanced over to look at the numbers that were on the screen that he was referring to. At that moment when he turned his head, this individual fired a shot, and he turned his head, and it just scraped through his ear, taking off a piece of his ear. He bled pretty bad. Other shots were fired, and people were shot. One guy was a fire chief who was there, and he literally put his body on top of his family to protect them. What an honorable move! What a really, really honorable thing to do. And that move that the fire chief did saved the life of his family, ultimately giving his own life. Basically, the law enforcement perspective or response, local law enforcement initially did spot the individual that we named before, but they lost him in the crowd, or so they say. But the event was secured, but he disappeared in the crowd. Who knows? He ended up on top of a roof of a shed, which was about, I want to say 450 some odd feet or yards away or whatever. So let me get into some more of the details here. So the ongoing really look is what they're looking at is how did this really happen? And it's been a week, so I don't need to get into the specificity of all the little details and the time frame because you've watched the news. So you already know all that. I don't need to do that for you. We're not going to waste valuable airtime going through all of that. What we are going to talk about is not a conspiracy theory. We're going to talk about what actually occurred and the implications and how this may affect things moving forward and, you know, how this will change things, not just for this election, not just for the president, but everybody in this whole process with security and protecting public officials, not just in America, worldwide. So there obviously is questions about potential gaps in security and communications. Who was communicating with who, what was said. One of the other people they're worried about is that there'll be copycat attacks, or people similarly trying to do the same thing, or will it lead to more division in our country? Will it lead to more division and more violence in the street and more violence to Americans and more violence to public officials? Nobody really knows, but we all know that this did change the landscape tremendously. Now, the landscape has been changed tremendously since President Trump entered the race back in 2015 for the 16 election. But it's never been the same since. Politics has been thrown up in the air and a lot of changes have been made. Whether you or I agree with that, that's not what we're talking about now. But we can agree together is that the foundation of politics and the process changed formidably since Donald Trump first came down that escalator in 2015. And now that day was changed the landscape politically. And now this day changed the landscape. How many more landscape changes are we going to have? I don't know. But what's the reactions? There's a significant debate amongst politicians and legal scholars and the general public about what is going on here. Polls show a varied opinions on how this is going to play out in the justice system and who is going to be held accountable. There is a broad amount of people placing different blame on the director of the Secret Service, whether it be another agency or this agency. You know, everybody, I think, is culpable a little bit. Some more than others, but everybody has some culpability who is responsible for the security of the president at this day, has some sort of culpability to what occurred here. Not to say that somebody did it on purpose. Sanadi is not saying that that was done on purpose. Maybe it was. We'll find this out later, or if not, we will not. I don't know. But we are not conspiracy radio, conspiracy TV here, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist. So the important is that there has been, heightened security. But the question I really ask myself is, how much security did they really have? Because I know that we had mentioned previously that Robert F. Kennedy had requested Secret Service protection. Now, we know that he is a candidate. He's a third-party candidate for president. And historically, the rules are you are allowed to have protection when you reach a certain amount you put a request in. They can always waiver the rules, but the basic guidelines are where you stand in the polls and that sort of thing. But I would say just based on Robert Kennedy's family and the history that his family has seen with assassination attempts, assassinations, and now with this, with Donald Trump's attempt, we have to look at how they are actually assessing where security is needed, where it's not needed, who requires it, and to what extent is it required. The assassination attempt on Donald Trump is an assassination attempt on you, me, and every person. It's an attempt. You're not shooting Donald Trump. You are shooting a former president of the United States and the front runner and Republican nominee of the presidential election for this year. So you're shooting an individual. Obviously, he's a person, but he stands for much larger. So that is something that was actually came out after, President Kennedy. People looked back at it and said, well, this became a bigger crime then, because it's not a homicide of just an individual. You're attacking an institution. You're attacking a nation. And this is what really needs to be kept into play here, because at the end of the day, you're looking at it and I'm looking at it and we're saying to ourselves, what happened? I mean, I've been to plenty of these rallies. I've been to plenty of places where I've spoken and had access to people like specifically President Trump, and I've seen how the security is handled. I know what I've had to go through and what people that have been there have to go through to go in and see him and be part of the festivities. And this was a public event. Some of them I've been to public, and some I've been to some private events. But still, security is always on the high end. So I just don't understand how this was able to happen. But ultimately, this individual, this young man, was neutralized. His life was taken by a shooter, a Secret Service or a sniper of the government, after he took his shots. So he's not here to say what was in his mind. We don't know what research he conducted. There's not really much that we know at this point. We know a little bit. They are still investigating, and still, obviously, this is going to be a deep dive, folks. This is going to be a deep dive for a long time. This is not going to be something that's going to be a 1-2-3 thing, because we are still talking about the Kennedy assassination. I mean, think back to how many years ago was that? People still talk about the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. So if you look at all of that craziness, this is not going to be something that they're going to stop talking about. The last attempt on a president was President Reagan, and that was in 1981 or two, something like that. And it was, who was it? Let's see, let me think who that was. Hinckley. I think it was, Hinckley was the last name? Hinckley, yeah. John Hinckley was the one that shot at President Reagan. He claims that he did it for a love affair, I think with Jodie Foster or something crazy like that. But that was an attempt on President Reagan's life. He survived, thank God. And thank God that President Trump survived. But still, there was an attack on our institution, our nation, our institution, on law enforcement, and on the American citizen. And this is what we're going to address tonight. We're going to talk about that because we can't have this happening. This is not something that should be going on ever. When did we get to a point in American politics? And I know, folks, it has been contentious over the years. And I know that I said in the beginning, the landscape of politics changed dramatically when President Trump came down that escalator. There's been a lot of discord amongst people, name calling and arguing and a lot of ugliness amongst people. But at what point did it cross from ugly words and campaign rhetoric to now becoming violent? What led up to this? What did we not see coming over the past 8 years, say 7 years, 6 years, 5 years, whatever years you want to say? What did we not see coming? Now, what we did see coming, folks, was a lot of protests in the street. We saw a lot of people getting hurt over different political views, a lot of people disagreeing over issues of foreign affairs with your Israel and your Hamas. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on around the world, and a lot of people are disagreeing. But when did it get to the level that we were going to handle this, or somebody was going to handle this as people? And I'm not saying we, meaning me as an insider, being as I was part of it or something. I mean, we as Americans. How did we allow this to get that far? When did we think that it was acceptable for things to happen? Now, if you look at the entire geopolitical positioning of this, you have to peel back and pull back that curtain and look and see that a lot of things have transpired over the last X amount of years. Maybe people said, whatever, a lone wolf shooter here, somebody did that, somebody did this, somebody assaulted a public official. Or remember, I believe it was a Congresswoman, Maxine Waters, went out and said, if you see them at a gasoline station, if you see them out in public, get in their face, or something like that. Well, when did we get to the point that You want to get in somebody's face. And then we're taking the level of incitement to another level, to the level of now people are getting killed, getting hurt, and our whole institution is being attacked. Now, a lot of people are having all kinds of conspiracy theory about involvement of what nations were involved. Was CIA involved? Was CIA doing something behind the scenes? Or was the Iranian government involved? You know, everybody has a conspiracy theory. I don't have a conspiracy theory. I want to see facts. I want to hear from the individuals that were involved. I want to see testimony. I want to see what information they come up with in the long run. Now, we know that the Warren Commission was the commission that handled the investigation after the Kennedy assassination. And that took years to do that. Just like we had the 9/11 Commission, which took years. So we're never going to get to the bottom of this. And if we do, it's going to be a long time. And what is going to be released to the public, who knows? I don't know. A lot of people said with Kennedy, there was potential CIA involvement. I don't buy into that. I don't want to believe that. I don't want to believe CIA was involved in this as well, or any other agencies. I do want a fair, an open, fair, transparent investigation, a transparent look at everything. Now, I know that they were attempting to get into the shooter's phone and see what other, things he was doing. And there's a lot of speculation out there. There's a lot of speculation. So I'm not going to go down all of the speculation, because I'm not going to be that person to contribute to what happened and what didn't happen. And, oh, he said, she said. We need to focus on what is important right now. We have a person dead. Several people were shot. People are traumatized. A former president and a top tier front runner. He's leading everybody in the race. So presumptively, he has a very good probability of winning again for another term. So that is what we should be focusing on, because if it happened, we need to explore how. Maybe the why will be a long time. I agree on that. The why will probably be a long time if we ever do get a real why. But we can definitely agree as a group, Democrat, Republican, Independent, whatever you are, we can agree that, not the why, but we can agree how is imperative right now. How did somebody get that close to a former president, or we'll just say president, because they're president forever, former president, current president. How did somebody get, and a candidate, front-running candidate, how do you get to an event like that with weapon and climb on top of a shack and be able to pull all this off with a rangefinder and video of him walking around? You could see him on video scouting out the rooftop that he was going to climb on. Now, there is a lot of speculation to exactly how he got on the roof. There are people with video that took video of him climbing on, or crawling on the roof, I should say. So there's so much going on, and how much video we actually have and don't have, I don't really know, because even to this day, there's footage on Kennedy assassination that hasn't been viewed publicly. So who really knows? And again, the why is going to probably, you and I are never going to know the why. Some of us may find out the why, and whoever those people may find out are part of the inside group, and they are going to be under a security clearance, under a non-disclosure agreement, or whatever it may be. So they're not going to be able to tell you. And the government is going to give you the narrative that they're going to give you. And unfortunately, that's what we got to accept. I don't always agree with that, but that's just the way it is. There is a national security issue here. So The how is really important. The why, I'm very sure that they're doing a why, you know, checking out why, but that's not going to be as discussed now as how. How do you get in there? Some people are saying his vehicle was parked like miles away, and some said that he dropped off the weapon and stuff prior to the rally, and then he came to the rally and picked it up. There's so many different people. There's people that were interviewed immediately following the shooting, and everybody seems to think that they know why and how, because everybody's an expert. But that's what you're not going to hear on this show, because I'm not going to proclaim to be an expert or somebody that knows emphatically and privately on how the intricate details of this incident occurred and how the presidential detail is handled. And whatever I might know about that is not for discussion here, because that's not the point. The point is, how did this happen? And what are we going to do to avoid this from ever happening again? And that really is the question at hand, is how and what are we as Americans and the law enforcement community and the national security community and the intelligence community, and that would include all of the alphabet agencies, CIA, DIA, NSA, FBI, the whole lot of them, Secret Service, everybody. Everybody needs to look at this. This is an intelligence failure. It's a law enforcement failure. It's a public safety failure. It's a failure at every level. And like I said in the beginning, culpability is not being directly pointed at any individual at this point, at least from me. And I'm not gonna report on that. Now, I do think that there are some serious questions that need to be asked and need to be discussed. But is that really what we need to be doing now? What we need to do right now is to make sure that this is not something that occurs again, and that the presidential candidate and all the candidates, all of them, and all public officials, really, and all people that are going to be getting involved in the political process, elected or otherwise, that how are we going to protect that? You know, because when you attack, even like a police officer, when you assault a police officer, you kill a police officer or any government official, I'm just saying police, but it could be anybody, you're not assaulting or killing that person. Yes, you are. But you are also attacking an entire institution. And that is what we have to really focus on. It's the entire institution. How protected is everybody? How protected are all of the candidates? How protected are all the staff that work for the candidates? And what about all of the other politicians, elected officials, bureaucrats, public officials, everybody else within that group? How are they all safe? And who is protecting the protectors? Who's watching Big Brother? Who's Big Brother's Big Brother? Well, who's the protector's protectors? Because see, we as Americans, we are looking to our president and our politicians to lead and protect us. And they do that with their arm of power through these agencies, through public safety, law enforcement, and all of the different people that are involved in the protection of the president and these other officials. So you have to look at the broad spectrum here. It's not just one thing. This is broad across the aisle, no matter who you are, Republican or Democrat, or what level of government you are at. You cannot attack our people like that. You cannot do that. You cannot just kill somebody or assault people because you disagree with them. I mean, there's just a human aspect here involved that is not what we in this nation purport. I don't purport that. I don't care what religion, race, or whatever you are. I don't think that any religion, and even if you're an atheist, I don't think anybody thinks that it's acceptable to go and just target your enemies because they're your enemy, and I would say enemy in a political aspect. Let me rephrase that. Your political opponent, your political enemy, in the sense of, you know, the famous quote is, the ballot and the pen is mightier than the bullet, right? So the ballot and the pen right here, my Abraham Lincoln pen, is mightier than the bullet. That is how things should be handled, not with taking out targets and shooting people and causing disruption. Just think, if he had not turned his head, the trajectory of what I saw, of what experts have reported, show that that would have went directly through his head, taken out brain matter, and essentially ended his life, or critically ended his career, and that would have been it. What would we have done then as a nation? Think back, for those of you who are alive, when President Kennedy was killed. Look at the nation. It's a different world now then, too. Look at where we are now and where we were then. Yes, we had a lot of stuff going on with Russia and the Cuban Missile Crisis and all of that stuff, but that is not nearly as hotbedded, geopolitically contested as the world is right now with Iran, North Korea, Russia, Israel, Hamas, and Hezbollah, and the Houthis in Somalia, and Syria, ISIS, and everything else that's going on around the world. Forget the discord in our own country amongst people fighting over race again, fighting over nonsense. We are a different world, different nation. Our nation suffered dearly for the loss of President Kennedy, but the situations are much different. We have, our geopolitical stance is way different now. So had he had not turned his head and he was killed, or this had been after the election and he was in office, or when he was in office before the last election, or if this had been President Biden or Vice President Kamala Harris or whatever, this would be a major political issue across the world. And what would our enemies do? Would they not take advantage of that? I mean, come on, just look around. Everybody's itching to do something to the United States. We have an open border, people just blurring across that border. We got Russians bringing submarines within 100 miles of our coast. They're hanging out over Cuba, maybe going over to Venezuela. They are flying right close to our borders with their bombers and their fighters. Like I said, submarines. We got China pushing up on potentially Taiwan. You got Russia invading Ukraine. Just look, and you got the Israel stuff going on. So much stuff is going on. This would not be a time. There is never a good time, but this definitely is not the time for one of our leaders to be struck down, because that would just open the door and just scream to our real enemies. Because our real enemy, folks, is not your neighbor that's flying a Trump flag, not your other neighbor that's flying a Biden flag. Those aren't your enemies. Your enemy are the people that are trying to cross the border illegally in the South, that are Chinese, Iranian, from a lot of countries, military-aged men from a lot of nations that are not of Latin descent. I mean, just take a trip down to the border, watch any of the videos, pay attention, open your eyes, and look and see who's coming across the border. That is our enemy. Those are our enemies, the people that are trying to come in here. Not the people that are coming here for a better life. I'm not saying that. Please don't bot and troll me and misquote me on that. I'm saying people that are trying to get into our country to create mayhem, havoc, and try to help the fall of the United States empire. This can't happen. This can't happen. We need to come together. Folks, this should be like a 9/11 moment for everybody, and a President Kennedy moment for the generation before that, and the 9/11 moment, and your Benghazi moment, and when the diplomat was killed and there was a whole incident in Benghazi. That was 2011, I think, or yeah, 2011. 2011, and then we had that, and then we had COVID. We have so much stuff going on. We are a different world. Our eyes need to be open. We cannot be taking hits like this in every direction. So what do we do now? I know everybody wants to know why. I want to know why. I want to know how a 20-year-old gets to this spot to do this. How does anybody? I'm not saying anything negative because he's 20, but he's 20 years old, folks. Where did this idea come into his head? And how did he? It's not like he just did some random, stupid shooting like some people do, and they go and shoot up a school, they go and shoot up a public place, and do things like that where it, you know, is really far less security, and it's just kind of randomly shooting people, maybe looking to target one person, but they're hitting a whole bunch of other people. We're talking about a strategically planned tactical mission of either bringing this weapon prior to the rally or sneaking it in during the rally, whatever happened, but getting on top of a roof, aligning his sights, and taking shots at a presidential candidate, a former president, potentially a future president. How do we get there? How do we get there, and how are we not going to have that happen again? I can't say it enough that this is just a question. And I'm not, again, saying that this is on purpose. I highly doubt that. I am not one to blame CIA on everything. I don't blame CIA on everything. I don't blame NSA. I don't blame CIA, NSA, or any of these people. You know, if there's involvement and if people are involved, then that'll come to light. If we're supposed to know about it, it'll come to light. I don't know. I don't think it did, but I'm not going to be the person to say that. I'm going to say, what are we, everybody, going to do? You know, there was a thing right after 9/11. If you see something, say something. Now, unfortunately, I think that got really crazy over the years. If you see something, say something. The whole idea of that was if you saw, you know, a package or something odd, you reported it, because we couldn't allow people to come in and do the things that they were doing where they were able to commit a heinous act against our nation, like they did on 9/11. And I think that over the years led to a lot of people making calls on people and a lot of mass government data mining and intelligence gathering and, you know, constitutionally protected rights just watering away. You know, at the time I'm going to be very, very open. I was for the Patriot Act, but I think as time went on, it kind of got a little out of hand. Yes, we need to have good intelligence. CIA, that's their job. CIA handles foreign intelligence. Their job is not to be operating within the confines of the United States. Their job is to gather. They are the central intelligence agency. Their job is to gather intelligence on foreign actors outside the United States to ensure that no incidents occur inside the borders of the United States or to our embassies or to military, et cetera, overseas. Then inside the borders of the United States, FBI, Federal Bureau of Investigation, is charged with that, with handling the intelligence within the United States and American citizens. CIA does not investigate American citizens. That's not how the policy is supposed to be. That's not how the law is written. That's not how CIA operates. FBI's job is to do that. Now, I know that prior to 9/11, there was CIA and other agencies did not communicate well. The CIA is the basic central hub of intelligence for the United States. They basically are the main agency, but they're not in charge of it. There are a lot of the IC, the intelligence community, is a very large community of a lot of agencies, alphabet agencies, some of which you've never even heard of. After 9/11, they had the 9/11 Commission. They realized that there was a lack of communication, which I'm going to circle that into this. Was there a lack of communication? Were certain people not talking to the other person? Was there a communication delay from point A to point B? from one agency to the next or from one agent or officer to the next. Who knows? But after 9/11, the whole purpose was of 9/11 Commission was to make sure that there was good intelligence sharing across the board of agencies. Now, of course, nobody wants to say, oh, the other person's intelligence is better than mine. So there's always those disputes with people over, well, we came up with this answer, you came up with that answer, and, you know, I'm not going to say that yours is better than mine. I don't know. That's all nonsense. At the end of the day, folks, the lives and the safety of our nation, our presidents, our public officials, our law enforcement, our public safety, and our citizens, and our way of life is in danger. Now, I'm not calling for the government to do mass surveillance. I'm not calling for any of that. I'm saying that we need to look at what specific failures occurred. And we need to address the individual failures. We need to Monday morning quarterback this game. We need to look at this after the fact, go through all of the video, go through all audio, and you know what? Any text messages that were sent at that time, they should be looking at everything that they can look at and see what actually occurred so we can make sure it doesn't happen again. Pointing blame at somebody and getting in somebody's face and saying, this is this and this is not going to solve anything. Demanding resignations. I understand people are unhappy. I understand that people want something done. I agree. But pointing fingers is not where we need to be right at this moment. Maybe later on when we're discussing the why, getting into why this happened. But the how is not a finger pointing and pointing the blame. Yes, you're looking at the blame, but you're not singling out and pointing. You're saying, what is the failure? We need to do an after-action report, a military, AAR, after-action report. We need to do an AAR and look at the entire thing from beginning to end. And that includes the Secret Service advance team that goes out and they basically check the entire area and they prospect the areas of where potential rallies and speeches and any visits that the presidents and the high-level candidates are going to be. The advance team checks all that out, investigates all of the potential routes. There's several routes to drive to and from each location. They know several routes to the nearest hospital and all the things they need to do. They're coordinating with local law enforcement to get the little minor details and the intricacies of the locality that they're in. They're supposed to be working together. We have to do an after-action report. We have to go back and review everything. Before we point the blame and say that somebody did this on purpose, it's a targeted attack from CIA involvement, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. No, we need to look at specifically what happened and look to see. It's all about the details. I forgot the name of the show. I wish Ms. Bianca wouldn't know the show. It's a little older show, but it was like Just the Facts. I forgot who it was. If the producer remembers, jump in and yell me. What was the name of that show? You know the show? Help me out here.
Yes, it was Dragnet.
Dragnet. Thank you, Dragnet. It was, and we held the little book and he said, "Just the facts, ma'am." Right? You were still,
yes.
Still there?
No, yes, right. It was Sergeant Friday. Sergeant Friday said that.
Yeah, Miss Bianca's not here, so feel free to jump in and help me out. But yeah, honestly, I mean, where were you when this happened, Carrie?
I think I was home babysitting my granddaughter.
It was like shocking. Like, I mean, when it came through, you're like, is this really going on? Is this really happening? I guess, you were around for Kennedy, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, because I obviously wasn't. 9/11 was my experience. I don't even know anything about the Reagan assassination attempt. So my national tragedy experience was 9/11, and I remember exactly what was going on. I can't imagine, your generation that had seen a lot of these incidents. You know, saw Kennedy, 9/11, Reagan. It's just craziness. Crazy, 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 crazy.
I think what's more
what that
I was going to say, I think what's more upsetting about the whole thing is too many things are happening too fast instead of the long time in between when we were having these incidents.
Right. Yeah. You're right. That is where I was kind of saying before. Thank you for getting that up and saying that. That's where I was leading. When did we as Americans know this? Because like you're saying, the frequency of things are occurring. And it's like we're almost putting blinders on, tunnel vision, and not seeing the broad picture. That we are allowing things in this country to happen. We're not talking, I don't even want to go politics. I don't want to go on what your stance is. I just want you to look at the fabric and foundation of the United States and what we are and what we stand for and what we allow and what we allow now to what we used to not allow and what we look with shock and awe, right? People have shock and awe. People are so desensitized to stuff just from the internet and from everybody having a cell phone camera, right? And people having war footage available everywhere. People are so desensitized to this stuff that does it really strike them hard when you hear this? I know it did for me, and so did 9/11 and a lot of other things that I've experienced. And I really am. I love this country, clearly, as you can tell from the set here. It hits me. It's like a dagger in the heart. I don't care if it was Trump or if it was Biden. Or if who it was, it's the American way of life. It's the American institution. And like you said, Gary, the frequency of events are getting so rapid and so close to each other. It's like one after another. At what point do we say, what's going on? At what point do we wake up? And I'm not saying woke. I'm saying wake up and look at the dust, clear the dust out of your eyes, pick the potatoes out of your ears, pull the cobwebs out, and say, what is going on? What are we doing? What are we allowing? We cannot rely on government to protect everything all the time. You have to be vigilant. I say on every show, you have to have a 360, 365 mentality. You have to be hyper-vigilant 365 days a year with a 360-degree radius of yourself. Meaning your head is on a swivel at all times, every day. Because you know what? Terrorism and these people do not take a vacation day. You have to understand, everybody has to understand that we are the world's superpower. We are looked at by everybody in good times and in bad times. So a lot of people will be happy with the fall and a lot of people will be unhappy with the fall. There is always somebody looking to hurt America 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That is fact, folks. So you can't rely 24/7 on somebody guaranteeing your safety. I mean, the government does a great job. Trust me, they do a great job. They work very hard. I have a lot of years of experience in this area. And I can tell you from fact that when I was there, working in several agencies, we work hard to keep people safe. They continuously work hard to keep people safe. But they can't be everywhere all the time, especially when people are out there saying, I have a First Amendment right for this, a right for that, a right for this. Listen, I am all for the Constitution. I have several copies of them here on set with me. So you know that it's on the wall here, obviously. But there's a fine line you have to look at the broader sense of what's going on. They can't be everywhere at all times. And if they are, then they're too far in your home and in your bedroom. And nobody wants the government in their bedroom, tapping their phone, reading their emails. Nobody likes that. Nobody wants that. I don't want that, certainly. You don't want that. I'm sure Carrie doesn't want that. Nobody wants that. So at what peril do we as Americans, what do we say to each other? When do we say, okay, it's enough is enough? I mean, I don't want everybody snooping around everything, but at the same time, we do need an eye on I don't want to say the targets, an eye on our enemies at all times. There should have been, okay, thank you. There should have been a, there were several people there on scene. I'm not going to get into the specifics again, but we need to see what really transpired. It's going to be a long time. It's going to be a long time. I should not be counting on it. You shouldn't be counting on an answer today or tomorrow, because it's not going to happen, because we're still talking about Kennedy assassination. People are still talking about the Abraham Lincoln assassination. Did John Wilkes Booth actually shoot Lincoln, or did somebody else, did other actors have something to do with it? And I mean, bad actors. I'm not talking about actors. People, you know, there was, you know, you had the uprising in the South, and you know, there was a lot of stuff going on at the time where a lot of people from the South were in Canada. There was a lot of questions. No one even can answer that to this day on what truly happened to Abraham Lincoln. We still don't know truly. Nobody can, they're still arguing how many shooters were involved with the Kennedy assassination. So by far, I'm not expecting any answers on everything with this, the Trump assassination attempt. But for sure, we need to see how this particular one happened. That's why we have to separate the why from the how, folks. You have to separate the why from the how. Put the why to the side, okay? I know it hurts. I know it makes you angry, no matter what side of the political spectrum you're on. It's an angry situation for everybody. But we need to put the why to the side and say how. Because the why is going to be there. We need to make sure how, because if there was a bigger conspiracy here, or there was more people involved, or even if this is a lone wolf situation, other people saw this happen and saw that they were successful, or he was not successful in taking the shot at the president, but he sure was successful in gaining access to this, you know, to the rally, bringing in weapons, a rangefinder, walking around. You know, he did this. That is what our real issue is, not why. Whether he was a lone wolf or he was involved in a larger network, people saw that this happened. And they saw that, essentially, he was successful. Sadly, folks, you're going to hear it right here. He was successful. He got in there. He brought a weapon. He infiltrated a rally, got past all security, Secret Service, and everybody, was able to gain a vantage point of a high distance, of a high level distance, that he could look down upon the president and fire off shots. That's successful. I'm sorry. I was successful in the book of, if he had been a better shot or the president had not turned his head, he would not be here. So whether or not he's dead is really irrelevant at this moment. He was successful enough to gain access to the most powerful person in the world, the president of the United States. Whether he's the president at this moment or not, was the president, could potentially be the president again. This individual gained access, got past everybody, and was able to fire off rounds with a high-powered rifle towards the president. Whether or not the shot struck and killed the president or not, he was able to get in there and do that. And that's what we need to look at. We need to look at that and say, how is that going to not happen again? And lone wolf or a large network of people. Either way, that is all the why. We need to know the how. How did this young man do all of this without anybody stopping him along the way until after the shots were fired? That is what I'm going to leave you on. We have breaking news, and I'm going to come to you in 1 second, but let me close out. Carrie, we have some breaking news, correct? That I'm going to have to pump into another show right after this.
Yes.
I know what it is. You want to say it, and then I'll go, or you want me to close, and you can come in. Or just read it to me. Tell me what you know.
Has dropped out of the presidential race, and
President Biden has dropped out of the presidential race as of today.
Yes.
As of the time of recording this show for tomorrow, the show's airing in a couple hours, and I'm going to have to cut into another show right after this in 2 minutes, and we're going to discuss that. So breaking news, President Biden has withdrawn from the presidential race. And did they say if Kamala is Kamala Harris is definitely going to step up and wants this, or what are they saying right now?
They're saying that they have been aligning their campaign to for that to happen, but it's I think the Democratic convention is what's going to end up deciding who does what.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Well, all right. Well, all right. Well, that's going to be folks, pay attention, because now I'm going to have to record another show right after this. So pay attention. If you're watching this show or listening to this show in a couple hours when it airs, there's going to be another show right behind it that'll air probably on the on 99.9 KKTC FM. We'll launch it on there. This way it'll be a couple hours after this one airs. Thank you, Carrie. Appreciate it. I'm going to always go to, are we queued up, Carrie, for getting ready for, because I know Miss Bianca's not here for the national anthem. You were ready to get that in a second?
Yes.
Once I'm done. All right. I wasn't sure if you're able to get that loaded up in there. Okay. Okay, folks, unfortunately we have come to a hard end of the hostile zone, but I'm going to close it out with my call to action and my quote. I say every show, folks, stay informed, stay engaged, 360, 365, but stay engaged. What do I mean by engaged? I mean by read the news, all news outlets. Pay attention to this show. Pay attention to other shows. Read a paper. Don't just rely on what pops up on number one on Google, okay? Do a little research. Look around. Pay attention to who is saying what. Don't fall for every conspiracy theory. I know there was one out there I wanted to discuss and I forgot. People are saying one of the people behind President Trump might have been an FBI agent or a military person. There's a lot of nonsense involved, a lot of stories on that. Another person posted that they were saying that they, quote unquote, were one of the Secret Service snipers or something, posting on Instagram or TikTok or something. Don't pay attention to that stuff. Look for your news. Look at all the different news outlets and compare everybody's together and see, make sure what you're saying is true and accurate. Validate what you're gonna say. Stand up for what you believe in. Be vigilant, hyper-vigilant to your surroundings, for your safety of your family, yourself, your neighbors, your nation, but be hyper-vigilant to people who are trying to build mass hysteria, people who are trying to overturn our government, people who are providing mis and disinformation out on the internet and on social media. Advocate to improve security measures across the board, to have informed decision-making. And because an engaged electorate is crucial, an engaged electorate, folks, we are the electorate. You are the voters. You're the electorate. And the bottom line is you have to ensure that your voice is heard. You want that voice to be engaged and be knowledgeable. Don't just be spouting out garbage and speaking out the side of your mouth, not knowing what you're talking about. We want engaged people that are informed. Be informed. I thank everybody out there who does take the time every day to listen to the show. We did take about 10 days off as we're working on several projects. We are back on track for every day again, as we were. So we do look forward to you. I thank everybody. We have some great guests coming on. We got confirmation. Robert F. Kennedy is coming on the show. We didn't schedule any dates. I got several other people that are coming on the show. I got even somebody that was involved with the Kennedy assassination who is going to come on the show. So we have a lineup of guests coming forward. So there is a lot happening here. I thank you, because I am nothing without you folks. Without you watching the show, we would not be on the thousands of radio stations and TV stations that we're on. We would not be in every single podcast platform. and Amazon Music and everywhere else. We would not be all these places, Audible and everywhere, if it wasn't for you. And I thank you. So I'm going to give us our closing quote, and then Carrie, you're going to cue up Miss Bianca for us, even though she's not here. We're going to pretend she's here to close us out with honor, glory, and love of our nation. The quote of the day: the measure of a man is what he does with power. Plato. The measure of a man is what he does with power. Folks, I'm Eric A. Sinati from the Hostile Zone saying thank you for coming at me tonight. I'll be at you every night. Check us out on every single podcast platform. Check us out on social media. The Hostile Zone at bbstalkradio.com. Eric Sinati at bbstalkradio.com. And Eric at ericandrewsinati.com. Check out all the websites. We look forward to hearing from you. Carrie, let's bring it off to Miss Bianca.
Use your voice, Sinati hears you. Use your voice, let it be heard. Use your voice, Sinati hears you. Use your voice.
Thank you for listening to The Hostile Zone, because in Sinati's zone, I hear everything, everywhere. For everyone else, see you next Monday for more outrageous talk, where we pull back the curtain and hold no punches. From me to you, have a great week. And remember, everyone, treat others kind, treat your family kinder, and always love our country.
That's right. Oh.